Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, justice, health, and wellness.
Nut milk, seed milk, plant milk, dairy-free milk, rice milk.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015.
Nut milk, seed milk, plant milk, dairy-free milk, rice milk.
Thrilled and honored that joining us is Ken King, a vegan entrepreneur of Waves Dairy-Free Soft Serve. He's based in Douglas, Massachusetts, and he's joining us here in the studio. Welcome, Ken, and thank you so much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. We've become like rapidly growing, and it's been a wonderful trip so far. I started last August with this journey, and because I couldn't find what I was looking for out there for soft serve. I started out being vegan 3.5 years ago, which isn't all that long when you talk to people who are vegan. Everyone's like 7 years, 10 years, you know.
Well, this is even more exciting and special now that it's your 1 year anniversary.
It is. It is so exciting. You know, I actually left my other job. So when we started doing the festivals, I was like, it's too much to get all the permits and do all everything. So I need to focus on the business. The Monday through Friday is wonderful, but really where we thrive is at the festivals and the events. We have a few booked through August through September, a couple of trunk or treats in October, some things in November, and a couple of Christmas fairs we did last year. And it's like people still want soft serve. It's incredible to see the support, and I'm truly blessed to have that.
That's great. Waves Dairy-Free Soft Serve is a wonderful thing. Oh, it's so great. And I'm happy to hear that you're going to be at the Worcester African Festival, August 3rd, 2024, 12 to 5 p.m. at City Hall Common.
Yes, it's exciting. All these big events in Worcester and in Boston and all those big events, when the whole crowd comes out, it seems like it's so much fun. I love talking with my customers, especially the ones who have a passion for this as well.
A vegan soft serve truck.
Yeah. When I started, it was really for my own purpose. I was like, if I can't find it anywhere, there's got to be other people who want it too. And I actually want to do a shout out to a company that was the OG soft serve truck for vegans, which is Like No Other. So Karen at Like No Other did this before I did. She's in Rhode Island, so she actually has her own shop down there. Right now, I'm the only soft serve, you know, vegan soft serve truck that I know of in the Northeast. There's probably somebody else out there. I know that Karen was the first, but she doesn't do the truck anymore. She's like, she's the original. And then I actually talked to her about like how she does what she does. And she has more than just soft serve now. She has her own shop. She serves foods and stuff. And I really have no intention of doing anything like that. I'm just content doing the soft serve at the moment.
Thank you, Ken. And it brings such joy because I know many can relate to when we were youngsters and here would come the ding ding of the ice cream truck. And so now to have it vegan soft serve, Waves Dairy-Free Soft Serve, oh, you bring joy and much needed evolution with humanity to evolve beyond exploiting and harming bovines and others when we don't need to. Right. Here we can have all this delicious
and
soft serve.
I started out for me, I needed a change, you know, and now we're vegan for the animals. You know, I'm going to this weekend a private event. It's for a sanctuary. Mm. So we're just treating the people who are helping, doing that cause.
Nice.
So those are the kind of things that we look for. And if you have an event out there that you're like, hey, can we get Waves Dairy Free Soft Serve to our event? We do birthday parties, we do parties, we do corporate events. I've done a few corporate parties just for, you know, there's a few people there who are lactose intolerant, and the company said, let's try it. So I go out, have them try it out, and then they're like, this is really good. So they call the truck in, and we do an hour or two there. We've done Tufts Animal Hospital, University, you know, the school. We've been there. We served everybody over there when we started last year. And we've only been in business since last August. So it was a horrible time to start an ice cream soft serve business when you're you know, end of summer. That's when we got all the permits. That's when we got the truck ready. You know, I had to get the financing. So it took me a long time. And it was a long winter thinking, is this going to work? Is it going to be okay? And we did, you know, the Rhode Island Veg Fest in February. And we had nothing but troubles with the truck. And it was, you know, it was too cold for it. My water tanks froze the second day. The first day my machine broke. So I was like, oh, my goodness, what are we doing? But we've gotten things sorted out, and I still have them in the back of the mind. You know, you're one breakdown away, or your truck breaks down or something like that. But we try to focus on the positive and keeping everything running smoothly.
I'd love to hear about the various flavors. Dairy-free soft serve. Flavors.
Oh my goodness. So this is the difference, right? The huge difference. When I started this truck and doing the research and stuff, I found a machine that actually does 9 flavors. And I was excited about that. I was like, oh, it's not just vanilla chocolate strawberry or vanilla chocolate twist. And one of the offsets for that was I can't do a twist, but I have an answer for it. So since we're Waves, we have a ripple. I call it a ripple. It you start with one flavor on the bottom, you switch to another flavor, and it kind of blends a little bit, but you just dig deep and you get both flavors, and it's exciting to see the combinations that people make. We have the standard. We have, you know, vanilla, obviously, and one of the challenges with this truck was finding a chocolate that works well. And our chocolate fudge brownie is the fourth attempt at chocolate, and it's just because the machine mixes the flavor with the vanilla. So the chocolate has to kind of combine with the vanilla to make it work, and it's tough. The first one we had, I didn't like. The second one we had, somebody was like, I think it was my father-in-law, said, it tastes like they made it in a whiskey barrel, which it was cool. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people loved it, but then you give it to a kid and they're like, huh, what is up with this? And, you know, the parents are like, is this whiskey? No, it's not whiskey. It really isn't. So the fourth one that we tried is chocolate fudge brownie. It's the one we have on the truck now, and it's really more like a chocolate brownie batter is what it tastes like to me, and it's very good. It's just not the typical soft serve that you'd get like in a twist. The other flavors, which I'm super excited about, I have a flavor guy in Rhode Island. He has a dedicated shop. All of his flavors are vegan. All of his flavors are kosher. I've actually been contacted by a rabbi to see if we could get certified kosher, and I said, sure. We have vanilla chocolate fudge brownie, strawberry, which is right now my favorite. I've never thought of strawberry as like one of my favorites, and it is so good. Birthday cake, big with the kids, the strawberry and the birthday cake. Blueberry, black raspberry, coffee, which was not on the truck for a while, but everyone was asking for coffee again. Maple walnut. And the last one that I just added was cheesecake. So the exciting thing about the cheesecake is we can do what I call a ripple, and you can combine any flavors. And at the last event we did, which was in Somerville, it was the vegan market. We put it on the truck for that show because I'm like, there's going to be less kids there. Let's do the cheesecake. And it got mixed with everything except the orange cream, which I had on the truck. So people were trying vanilla cheesecake, chocolate cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake, blueberry cheesecake, coffee cheesecake, and, you know, just plain cheesecake as a standalone. And it's been phenomenal. The response to the cheesecake flavor has been phenomenal because typically, even regular flavor companies, it either has milk powder in it or it has eggs in it or has something. So even the syrup has something in it. And the flavor person that I use in Rhode Island refuses to use any of that.
Good.
And it's exciting. The one thing that I'm working on, and people have asked about it because I know there's a lot of vegans out there who are anti-food coloring. The food coloring part of it is tough because if you're serving vanilla, it looks white, it's clear, it's cool. If you're serving birthday cake, that one is clear, it's cool. The cheesecake, same thing. But all the other flavors, you don't know what you're serving if it doesn't have a color to it. So I've asked him to look into making like an alternative without the dyes, see if he can get a natural food coloring in. And he's working on them now. I'm hoping that we can get that sorted out by the end of this summer. And then by next summer, we'll have more options without the dyes. And I posted one flavor, and people were like, immediately, no, it has dye in it. It has a red dye. And I'm like, I get it. I do. And that's an allergen, too. So when you look at the flavors are allergen-friendly as well. There's no nuts. Even in the maple walnut, there's no nuts. They actually use apricot pits or peach pits, one of the two, to get that flavor. The cheesecake, same thing. He's got like it'll say cheesecake flavor, and I've grilled him on that, saying what does that mean? He goes, well, it's our proprietary blend of this, and this, and I can't tell you what's in it, but it's not dairy. So we're definitely on the vegan side. So we're working on pleasing as many people as we can, and I started like jotting down like our toppings that we have. We have gluten-free cones as well. So when we do like a gluten-free festival, which, you know, there's a lot of overlap with people who are concerned about dairy and meat and gluten and all this stuff, all the allergens. So when we did that, I actually loaded up the truck with gluten-free options. And some of them are so wonderful that I kept them. The allergen-free chocolate chips. So if you're like, I want, you know, something that's like chocolate chip ice cream, vanilla and chocolate chips, and it's basic. It's one of the 9 allergens. It's free of all 9. Same thing with graham crackers. I got gluten-free graham crackers, gluten-free Oreos, which is a pain, but it's worth it. If you're like, I want to have that Oreo topping, why not? We also have vegan gummy bears, and that's tough to find. But the vegan gummy bears, I just kind of hand you a packet because they're a mess. They like stick together. So if a kid wants gummy bears, I just hand them a packet. And usually they're like, yay, anyway. But I'm not putting them on the soft serve. Yeah, so we tried to be that friendly to as many people as possible. And I understand that there are some people who have allergies to soy. But that's part of the base. The base has, and that's one of the common questions we get. If it's not dairy, what is it? Because it tastes so convincing. And it's oats, cane sugar, and soy. And it's all certified. I actually buy that from a vegan company. And that's in Chicago. And our truck, really, the one negative of it is like I couldn't afford at the time a quiet generator. And it's loud. And people like, that's the biggest complaint I get. And I'm like, I know. But right now it's working. So we're sticking with it. And this weekend we're doing a kid-friendly event in Douglas on Martin Road. It's Picnic in the Park in Douglas. So the Picnic in the Park is actually supposed to be a friendly for kids who have autism, and my truck is way too loud. So I'm building a barrier to kind of quiet it down, but it's not something I'll take around with me everywhere we go. But we're working on that. So we're trying to be as user-friendly, as customer-friendly as we can, even the little things where you're like, yeah, it's just too loud.
Well, the next time I see Waves Dairy-Free Soft Serve, I'm going to get the strawberry cheesecake ripple effect on a cone.
Oh, that's amazing. I actually haven't released this yet. It's in the works. I'm trying to figure out where I need to price point it at. But I've served it to a couple of family members and that couple that came from Oregon. So I gave them the special treat of strawberry cheesecake, which is the strawberry cheesecake ripple. So a layer of strawberry soft serve with a layer of graham crackers and a layer of strawberry pie filling. and then the cheesecake on top with more graham crackers. It's kind of like a sundae. I don't offer sundaes. It's just too much. I haven't found a whipped cream that I like to say, okay, and it just gets too messy with this, with the small truck we have. So I've just been sticking to cones and cups. But this thing, this cheesecake concoction is just amazing. So I have both strawberry and blueberry pie filling to try. So if you're in the mood for something crazy, you can ask for that, and I'll be like, oh, the deluxe, you know. So I'm toying with the idea of calling it the cheesecake deluxe, something like that. But it hasn't been really public as of this point, because really I don't know what to charge for it, and how to price it out. So
that's exciting to hear about. The couple that you told me about from Oregon before we started the interview recording was how excited they were to see the vegan soft serve truck.
Yeah, they were visiting out here, and they followed me in Webster, and they had a, they had something going on, and they couldn't chase me down, so they followed me online and found me last night, and they were telling me, you know, they're from Oregon, and they are so excited to try this, and like they don't have anything like that near them, and I'm like, that's amazing. And I gave them this, and they were like, okay. After I gave them the deluxe, they were like, okay, you can never go out of business, you can never retire, you're not allowed, and you just have to keep doing this. And those type of interactions with people, and you see like the need, the real need for it.
We're listening to Ken King, the owner and operator of Waves Dairy Free Soft Serve truck serving Massachusetts and actually all of New England. And so he's joining us here in the studio at WCUW 91.3 FM. I'm greatly honored. And thank you all for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Nara in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Ken King. In the jam band. Plant milk. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We are joined for an in-studio interview with Ken King, the owner and operator of Waves Dairy-Free Soft Serve Truck, serving Massachusetts, the towns in Massachusetts, various festivals throughout Massachusetts and New England. Thanks again, Ken, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Happy to be here. People are always asking me online, come to this town, come to this town. And the problem with that is every time you get a town that you need to go to, you need a permit for that town. So I need an event. Like, so if somebody says, hey, can you please come to Salem, or can you come to West Brookfield, or can you come to wherever? It's great, but I need an event to get me there, you know, so it's worth our while. Because if you just go set up somewhere in the town, it's cool, but you don't get as many customers as you do at an event. Can this work? Will it work? And some people say, you're crazy, it won't work. And other people who are very supportive, like this radio station, like Not Your Mama's Vegan Cafe, Lisa and Gary were like, you have to do it, you have to do it. So thanks to them and my family. You know, my family, some people still think I'm crazy, and some people think it's a wonderful thing. And we're trying our best to get out there. So we have different locations that we go to regularly. We do City Hall. We try to get there during the day about lunchtime so the people who work in that area can get out. We go to East Park. We do different towns. We do Douglas. We do Upton. We do a car show in Upton tonight. We do Charlton. There's a couple of farmers markets there, so we do a farmers market on Wednesday from 4 to 7 there. We're trying to go to Southbridge during the day, and that's 11 to 2 on Wednesdays as well, and a few other places. And I'm trying to hit the regular spots. Since I'm local in Douglas, we try to go to Douglas. We try to go to all the local places and Worcester. We've expanded. People have asked us to go to Boston. We've been to Boston once. The Worcester African Festival is coming up on August 3rd. We've been invited to that. That is on City Hall Common. We'll be there. We've done Boston. We did the Caribbean American Festival there. We also did the Caribbean American Festival in Worcester, which was at Institute Park. And we've been having a great time with those. We did Veg Fest, which was, oh my gosh. All right, so everyone out there who went to Veg Fest and stood in line for an hour or more, I apologize for that. But I've heard nothing but great things and feedback, and we love you for that. So if you didn't get a chance to try us there, please try us any other time, and let me know that you either stood in line or couldn't stand in line, and we'll hook you up with some goodies. I appreciate all my vegan friends. So if you come up and you say you're vegan, you we'll give you samples of everything you want. If you see the wave symbol, you'll notice that it has the vegan V in it. And I got permission to use that from the people who created it in London before I even started. The symbol, my Waves logo, came up because I wanted the V in it. So that's why the name came about. One morning, like 1 o'clock in the morning, I knew that I wanted to have a V either at the beginning of the name of the company or in the middle of the company. And I woke up and said, it's Waves. It's just Waves. And I sketched out my logo. And from there, it became better. We had an airbrush artist do what I wanted him to do with it. And from there, we had it, you know, on the truck. So if you see it, that's my logo, but it's been beautified by an artist. And that's where we are right now. There are haters out there as far as, like, it's different. It's not what you expect. I've had people say my soft serve needs milk in it, or it's not real. And I actually had somebody in Southbridge the other day. He was a gentleman, and he came up, and he looked at the truck, and he goes, oh, dairy-free, and he kind of shrugged and started to walk away. And I said, what do you want? I'll give you one for free. So I'll give him a kitty-sized cup. And he started talking about how he's anti-vegan. He wants everything to be normal. And I said, well, you just try it. And he took a bite, and he said, this isn't fair. I can't tell the difference. So he said, if I can't tell the difference, it's not a fair comparison. And I said, what? I said, whatever the flavors you want to try. So he tried the blueberry, and he was like, all right, this is good. Right? So he still walked away not buying anything, not being a believer, but I'm feeling like that's part of it. And hopefully we can get a convert, you know, as just a believer in the product. And the other day, Crohn's disease, this person came up. He was actually working at Walmart in Sturbridge, and I was picking up something in there, and I had the truck out idling. And he he was staring at the truck with his hands in the air like he had won something. And I saw him. I said, hey, you okay? And he's like, do you see that truck? Do you see that truck? And I said, yeah, I see the truck. And he goes, I haven't had a soft serve ice cream, an ice cream, anything, because I have Crohn's disease in years. Now, this kid is a young kid. He's probably like 22, working there. And I said, funny story, I own that truck. Come on over. Get a flavor. These are all good flavors. And I said, you'll be a believer. You'll try it. And he's like, really? What flavors can I have that are dairy-free? And I'm like, every one of them. Everything on the truck. Even the toppings. Everything. And at that point, his eyes lit up, and he was like, I want to try the blueberry. And I'm like, go for it. So I gave him those. And I was like, I don't have a permit for Southbridge, so it's your lucky day. I can't sell it to you. I just have to give it to you. So I gave it to him, and he brought it back to his friends inside and was like, I have this. I have this. And he's like almost out of breath because he's so excited that he got to have soft serve for the first time in years. And that was an aspect I didn't think of with Crohn's disease. You know, so I've thought about, you know, the lactose intolerance and the people who are vegan, and, you know, those are the main target. But I didn't realize there are more than just that out there that actually need this product.
That's great. And I have to say, I do enjoy your social media posts too, your photographs and your commentary as well.
The pictures that I post, sometimes I'll stop at a cool place and I'm like, try take a picture here. I took a picture of the truck on the Douglas Causeway on the Whitens Reservoir, and I had a couple of boats like, hey, do you have soft serve? So they actually pulled their boats up, and I sold soft serve to boats. And I was like, that was the weirdest thing I've done so far. And it was fun, but it was like, I don't know if this is legal. Yeah, I saw the people in a boat on a road. I don't know. So.
Oh, that's great. So what are the...
The socials?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so on Facebook, it is Waves, you know, WAVES. .dairy.free.soft.serve. So Waves Dairy Free Soft Serve. The Instagram is waves_dairy_free_soft_serve. Now you'll see a picture of my truck. And then our website is wavesdairyfreesoftserve.com. And if you need to reach me, like, I'm moving around all the time. If somewhere isn't working out, I might go somewhere else. Like, you've seen me go from East Park to the hospital, and somebody at the hospital is like, hey, can you come up here? I'm like, yeah, sure. So if it's in Worcester and you see me around, or you like wonder where I'm at, if I don't update the site, I try to put a schedule out every Monday now where I'm going to be. My phone number, 508-868-4596. That is my cell phone, my business line. It's my only line. If I'm super busy, I won't answer it. But if you send me a message and I see it, I'll definitely respond.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you so much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm thrilled with Waves Dairy-Free Soft Serve Truck. Awesome.
Thank you again.
Much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Please join us again next week at the same time. Let's go out with this song by Will Tuttle, the Calf Song. This is Marlene wishing you a beautiful, pleasant day. Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, justice, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. I'm very honored and thrilled that we are joined by Tom Rothwald. Let's start by hearing his song, The Giant, by Senes.
Fee-fi-fo-fi. down this way, dry and cold.
And it don't look down, no.
No, it don't look down.
Fee, fi, fo, fum.
This way.
Turns into minerals.
He turns mountains into minerals.
And forests into firewood.
This way, John.
He turns mountains into minerals.
And forests into firewood.
His shadow falls and flowers wilt.
He passes gas
and icebergs melt.
He blows his nose in oceans. And the mermaids come up floating.
These fields were full of elves and gnomes and fairies, but every step he takes, another cemetery.
With a sword,
seeking a shortcut. It's forward, forward, forward. Doesn't need the eyes he shuts, cause he don't look down.
Boy, don't look down.
The Upper Peninsula, Michigan. We'll be hearing about the Protect the Porkies campaign and much more.
But there is an old story, I don't know if it's true. It says this monster's made right out of folks like me and you.
Some are in the field, some are in the field, some are clinking gold,
and some are drinking lead. They fell under the spell of his shiny metal pie. Now they knock each other down, trying to climb so high. But they all feel so free with their shackles on tight, cause they get to take a photo. Left, will he step right? Sometimes it's left, right, left, right. Other times it's right, left, right. Sometimes it's left, right, right, right. Left, right, left, 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 right, right, left, right. Well, it's a funny way to walk for a fella so tall. You know it's gonna hurt like hell the day he finally falls. But for now it's free.
This way joy comes, and he don't look down.
Wide variety of skills and passions and experience, and he's joining us via Skype from Upper Peninsula, Michigan. Welcome, Tom, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be talking to you today.
But for now, it's fee, fi, fo, fum. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Fee, fi, fo.
Yes, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much. And also to your partner, Soul, too, so we'll be hearing about the work that the both of you do. But, Tom, let's start out with hearing a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, as you said, my name is Tom Grotewall, and I live in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, a very wild part of the country. And I'm 35 now. I became vegan when I was 15, so 20 years ago. But my journey to become vegan started before that. Actually, when I was 8 years old, I had the privilege of going on a family trip to the rainforest of Costa Rica. And when I came back from Costa Rica, I suddenly transformed into one of those kids who wants to save the rainforest. And that was all I could think about, was how to protect habitat, how to protect ecosystems. And, you know, actually, my journey towards veganism probably started before that. Just any time I looked into the eyes of my dogs or my cats and just felt compassion for them. But for me, there was really no difference between feeling compassion for a jaguar or a puma in the rainforest and feeling compassion for my own pets. And so all through my life, I've been very compassionate for habitat and ecosystems and also for animals, because I don't think we can draw a line between those two. So in recent years, I've been working as an animal activist, just doing outreach in the streets, stopping people in the streets, showing them videos and having conversations with people. And then when Sol and I moved up to the Upper Peninsula a few years ago, and we found a habitat very near to our home, we live right in the middle of a forest right on the south shore of Lake Superior. There are wild wolves that roam through here. There's bald eagles. There's hawks and owls and bobcats and beavers and porcupines and all kinds of creatures up here. And we're fortunate to be in a very beautiful and wild area. But shortly after moving here, we learned of a massive threat to the habitat of this region when a so-called copper mine was proposed just a couple miles down the road from us in the middle of a massive forest. And it would be the closest of these kinds of operations to Lake Superior in history, which is very concerning because, you know, even though they call this a copper mine, in fact, copper in these kinds of operations is only 1.5% of what they're extracting, and the remaining 98.5% is waste. They've got to store all that waste in a massive waste facility, the closest in history to Lake Superior. For those who don't know, Lake Superior is the largest freshwater lake on Earth by surface area. It's 10% of the Earth's surface freshwater, and water is everything. It doesn't matter if you're a plant or a mushroom or an animal like we are. Water is critical to our existence. It's 99% of the molecules in our body. It's what forms our DNA. So any threat to water is a threat to all kinds of life. And unfortunately, every single copper sulfide mine that's been documented has contaminated water. And this one is especially concerning because it's the closest in history to the largest and cleanest and wildest of all the Great Lakes. So I had already had experience working as an animal activist, just talking to folks on the streets, and I decided what I could do was start a website. So I started a website, protecttheporkies.com. The Porkies are the sort of the common name for the Porcupine Mountains, which are some of the oldest mountains in the world. And Porcupine Mountain State Park, which is my next door neighbor, it was actually ranked in 2022 by Yelp and TripAdvisor as the most beautiful state park in the country. It contains the largest coniferous deciduous old growth forest remaining in the Midwest. I didn't even realize there was old growth forest left in the Midwest until I moved up here. And unfortunately, this mining operation would also be right next door to this old growth forest, so close that they actually plan to mine underneath state park property. So we see this mine as a massive threat, of course, to the ecosystem, but also to outdoor recreation and humans who want a break from hectic city living to come out and get a moment of peace and quiet, to have a moment of communion next to the river, to listen to the waterfall, to sit on the lake shore. So this is just not a good deal for anybody. Lake Superior, as the largest source of surface freshwater on the planet, is a collective resource. I don't even like the term resource because resource makes it seem like it belongs to somebody. But Lake Superior doesn't belong to anybody. It deserves its own rights to be uncontaminated and unnecessarily developed. So, and the Porcupine Mountains, as the largest old-growth forest in this area, that is also of enormous collective value. And people come from all over the country and all over the world to visit that state park. So any threat to Lake Superior and the Porcupine Mountains concerns everybody who is compassionate for life. So that's kind of a long-winded introduction there. But, yeah, I'm happy to talk about this as much as you like.
Thank you, Tom. Oh, that was great to hear. Thank you. Yes, when I think of the vegan evolution revolution, I really believe it's a new paradigm. And so, like, for example, when I think of traditional practices that the world has been involved in, that it's really been done without a vegan consciousness. When I think of, for example, fireworks. Fireworks is a form of, from a vegan perspective, is a form of injustice to animals as well. And I witnessed it firsthand. A big bear came running out of the swamp area so fast, and that bear was surprised to see me, and I was surprised to see the bear, but the bear was running away from fireworks. A neighbor had fireworks that were going that were really town size fireworks, but it was on a private property. So these were loud. And when I saw that bear so scared, and I thought, that's how, you know, things happen that are tragedies, not just to the animals, but to humans as well. And so can you talk about that, even a perspective of what goes on, even with mining, with lights and sounds, et cetera?
Yeah, definitely. And just to emphasize that link between veganism and environmentalism, which, as I said, I don't really personally see a difference, because both of them are about breaking through this paradigm in which we commodify life and we completely disregard life except for its use as an object to make money. So we see that's what's happening in the animal slavery industry, in animal farming, where these living creatures with emotions and beating hearts are just being treated like objects. And then the same thing is happening to ecosystems as a whole. So with mining, and specifically with this proposed mine, and I emphasize again and again that it's proposed, which means that it's not too late for people to speak up, there's so much to be considered. First of all, the immediate footprint of an operation like this is only the beginning. So there's the amount of land that they have to clear cut. They cut down all of this forest. And, you know, we say forest like it's just one word, but every single tree is home to almost an infinity of creatures, from the birds that are nesting to the insects and the microorganisms and the fungus and the vines and the mosses. So when you talk about clear cutting a forest, that's, you know, really quite an atrocious activity. They also have to destroy an enormous amount of wetlands. What this operation has been doing recently, last summer, they destroyed all of these wetlands because they have to make room for this waste facility. So think about that, destroying wetlands where beavers and frogs and turtles and newts and all sorts of creatures live for the sake of a massive industrial waste facility. It's hard to think of something more hideous than that. But then it becomes even more hypocritical, because Michigan has what they call a zero wetland loss policy, which sounds really nice. But what that means is that if a company destroys wetlands, they have to then create new wetlands somewhere else. They call it wetland mitigation. So what the company is doing this summer in their wetland mitigation is they're clear-cutting more forest. They're basically turning forest into a desert, so that they can then capture water there and call it a new wetland. And they're going to feel like they're good environmental stewards for doing that. So there's just so much hypocrisy on all fronts, which is why we really need to go deep into the language that we use. We see this in the vegan movement all the time. We have to reclaim language. You know, the industry tries to call something humanely raised beef or cage-free eggs. And we all know this is bogus. All of your listeners know this is bogus. And that's happening in the larger narrative about so-called development and so-called progress as well, right? Industry calls development clear-cutting a forest and putting up a massive waste facility and then paving over an ecosystem so that nothing can live there. And they call that progress, where they call that construction, right? Whereas instead of construction, anyone with two eyes to see can very clearly identify that as destruction. So really what we need to do is properly identify what's going on. We need to get rid of all of this vocabulary that's been imposed on top of the conversation to stop people from understanding clearly. And then we need to speak up. We need to fight. I think, you know, as a vegan, everyone who's listening who is a vegan, remember there was probably a moment when you weren't a vegan. Some of us were fortunate enough to have been born in vegan families, but for most of us, there was a moment where you woke up. And the reason you woke up is probably because somebody helped you wake up. So I think as a vegan, I have a karmic debt because somebody did me the favor of waking me up, now I have to wake others up. And we need to apply that philosophy to everything. So becoming vegan is just the first step, but then you actually need to go further, and you need to help others wake up who are still sleepwalking.
Beautiful, Tom. Thank you. We're listening to Tom Grotewa, a vegan, activist, musician, and environmentalist. He is the founder of ProtectThePorkies.com, a decentralized people's movement. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Tom Grotewa.
Well, I'm prepared to prepare, so don't dare me to dare. I just sit and I stare and I wonder about things I have read. I got a world in my head, life's like men, and I'm thunder.
This is his song, School Fool, by Sinesse.
I tried to write a book, but I went into a rage before the very first word. I crumpled up the page. School made me a fool. Taught me everything.
Said how to live the love and love the way.
School made me a fool. Things to be like before, but there's no going back anymore.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Let's continue our conversations with Tom Grotewa in the Porcupine Mountains, Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
My heart and not my head. And I just want to listen.
I just want to listen.
I just want to listen to music like I did back in, like I did back in my childhood.
I have to say that the photographs that your partner Sol took of the Porkies is beautiful in Lake Superior.
Yeah, extremely beautiful area. And, you know, we're visual creatures, right? So we see the beauty, and that's really what taps into our hearts and say, oh, this is a great area to take a photo. But then to actually try to grasp the complexity of all the life that's here and all the relationships. And just going back, you know, you asked about light pollution and sound pollution. So, you know, these mines are 24-hour operations, which means lighting. There's no artificial lighting in this area. And so as soon as you put up artificial lights, that's not good for humans who like to stargaze. But lighting is also probably, and I didn't realize this, but lighting is probably one of the single greatest impacts that humans have had on natural ecosystems, especially if you're a nocturnal creature. But, you know, just think about how much the night sky has changed over the past couple centuries. And the same as you were talking about the sound from fireworks. And, you know, not just the sound, but the vibration that you feel from fireworks. With mining, we're talking about subterranean blasting. We're talking about rock grinding. We're talking about nonstop industrial traffic, all of this very, very noisy activity, which not only does it interrupt a person's peace and quiet when they're walking through the park, but you know, there's been studies showing that woodland songbirds, their population will collapse, most likely because they just migrate elsewhere, once the sound reaches a certain volume. So you can see that once it goes over something like 40 decibels, that's when these woodland songbirds just clear out and they say, I'm going elsewhere. So these are things, you know, it's not as concrete as water pollution, but sound pollution and light pollution, these are things that need to be taken very seriously. They're every bit as damaging as any other form of contamination.
Thank you, Tom. And I appreciate that we're having this conversation about holistic veganism, authentic veganism, deep veganism, which is the big picture. Especially in recent years, there's been a infiltration and a co-option of the vegan movement to turn it into simply a diet, that it's just a
right.
plant-based lifestyle. So it's taking away the impact in the seriousness and the power of liberation and freedom and sovereignty. And so thank you for this conversation. Deep veganism, respect for sovereignty, and bodily autonomy and freedom.
Yeah. You know, it's just about identifying what are your philosophical principles and then trying to be consistent on those principles. I think most of us became vegans because we recognize that you shouldn't do harm to something. And so the easy conclusion is, well, let's just stop eating animals because we can live long and happy lives without animal products. So we set that as our philosophy of freedom and compassion. But then when other issues come along, we fail to follow through on that philosophy. So and that can be said, you know, for many different people. Like, I've got a lot of friends who are environmentalists, and they care very deeply about otters and beavers and bald eagles. And then at the end of the day, they go home and they have a hamburger. And, you know, to me, that is just madness. And I don't understand how a person cannot make the connection. But then vegans, unfortunately, we are not perfect either. So we don't always stay consistent on our philosophy. We saw that in recent years. There was a big crackdown all around the world trying to force people to use their bodies in certain ways that they didn't want to use their bodies. And, you know, I'm not going to go deep into the weeds on that one. But for me as a vegan, I thought, well, if I support the freedom of animals, certainly I support the freedom of humans as well. And as a vegan also, I think we need to support the freedom of ecosystems. Because ecosystems have animals, but you also can't separate the animals from the plants and the water and all of the elements and all of the microorganisms. And so these days there's a pretty complex narrative going on about the need for copper and the need for zinc and nickel because of green energy, what they're calling green energy, which is another form of language manipulation. Think about the fact that these are called renewable energies, but even though the sunlight is renewable, solar panels are not renewable. Wind is renewable, but wind turbines are not renewable. In fact, these are massive, massive industrial projects, and they all require greatly expanding mining. And we've just talked about all of the consequences that mining has on ecosystems. So I would really challenge anyone who is a vegan or anyone who is just a human who's tuning in right now to think about what it really means to be green also. Can you endorse a new technology? Is it really green to endorse technologies? Is it green to endorse any kind of massive development project, which is actually a destruction project? So we really need to break through all of this language that's been imposed upon us and take a stand. What is it that we really stand for? We stand with life and we stand with freedom, and we shouldn't let anybody's narrative or agenda get in the way of that.
Yes, Tom, agreed. Thank you. Well, now I'd love to hear about the music, Maple Moon, from you and your beautiful partner, Soul, and your beautiful music.
Soul and I spend a lot of time making music and making art. Our band name is always changing, so it's kind of hard to keep track of. But Soul's current project is called Maple Moon, and Soul is from Argentina. So some of those songs are in Spanish, and some of them are in English. And so a lot of Soul's lyrics and my lyrics are about trying to wake people up to compassion. So Soul's band is called Maple Moon. We have another group called Roadkill Rising, which we're always evolving, always making new projects. So people who want to listen to that music. You can find it on YouTube. You can find Maple Moon on Spotify. But definitely get in touch with me at protecttheporkies@gmail.com if you want to stay up to date on our later musical evolution. But yeah, we're just trying to make music that is in tune with who we are, music that we tend to make acoustic music with instruments from around the world, flutes and hand drums and violin. Even though I still love good electric music from time to time, when I'm just by myself out in the forest, I much prefer to strum the guitar and play some flute and play some fiddle.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. And Tom, thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation, and much thanks also to your partner, Soul. And I'm thrilled that you've been vegan since you've been 15 years old. Wow, that's great.
Thank you so much, Marlene, for all the work that you're doing and putting information out there and having conversations and just opening up the conversation. That's the single most important step that everyone can be doing. Conversation is a great form of activism, so I would encourage everybody just to not be afraid to have difficult conversations with people you know and people you don't know.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Please join us again next week at the same time. Much thanks to all the activists worldwide. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a beautiful, peaceful day. Let's go out with more music by Tom and Soul.
I know of a perfect place on the backside of the map where the heroes lay down.
I would just stress people that wins do happen, and we never know what's going to happen unless we try. So that's really the key there, is not to give into the narrative of fear and despair, but actually to try and to speak up and to connect with others who are also speaking up. And then despair becomes happiness, because you're in community with others and you're doing something you really believe in. So we've all got to be activists.
Right on. Another world.
What we've been talking about this whole time is that there's not really a difference between veganism and environmentalism, because these creatures are entitled to freedom and health.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.